This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. Need help around the house? Even the handiest do-it-yourselfer needs an extra hand sometimes. Let Home Inspector David Nason help you out during The Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
And The Fix-It Show is sponsored by Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. A very good Saturday morning to you. I'm Libby Collinson for Dayton Kane, along with David Nason. Good morning.
Good morning, Libby. Good morning, everybody.
It's a great day to fix things around the house.
Great fix-it day, or a great day to just go out and have some fun, too.
And if you've got questions for us, you can get through on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. And one of our favorite guests is here this hour.
Well, thank you.
Good morning,
Jason. It's especially a great day today. I'm 50 years old today.
All right. Happy birthday.
So there, that's what we're doing. We're birthday party. You want to give out the address to the party?
Well, I'm just here. So listen, okay. The party's here.
If I had known, I would have brought a cake.
Well, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Jason Fox from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical.
Half a century, exactly.
And plumbing. Yeah, 50 years.
Right. Bicentennial, baby, yeah. I was born in the 200th, and that was the 250th, right?
So anything new with Capital Heating and Cooling? It's been a little bit of a warm summer, hasn't it?
The last few weeks have, yeah. I mean, June was, if you remember, in June, we had that little, actually, colder spell. It was below temperatures for a while. It was in the 60s, and then now we've warmed up, and then we had a little break here, but it looks like next week is going to be back to some hot weather.
Yeah, air conditioning season.
So I'll have to turn my AC on, maybe, but we'll see.
Right. I had a question for you. Sorry, I've been doing more inspections lately, and the newer air conditioners, if people don't know what I mean, about January 1st, 2025, is when they rolled out AC condensers, and I'll have to have,
a
or they can't have the R410A, which replaced the R2022, not 2022, and so now we have R454B.
Yep, or R32. Those are the two blends. I feel like R32 is actually in R54B.
I feel like I'm calling out a police car. You know, what was that? Car 54, where are you? R454B and R32. And I'm seeing more of the R454B than the other one.
It depends on the manufacturer. Yeah. Like, you know, certain manufacturers pick the R32, some pick the other ones. So it's really just a matter of what you're seeing. Yeah. But They're both very similar.
Yeah.
They both have a low flammability to them.
Okay.
Which everyone's like, I don't want anything flammable in my house. Well, everyone's got gas in their house, right? Which is way more flammable than the refrigerant.
But why did they switch to this?
So it's all about the environment. Mm-hmm. So it's more environmentally friendly than the R410A, which replaced the R22, right? So it's got to do with when it's released in the atmosphere, how it reacts with the atmosphere. And there will be another change coming. I think in like 4 more years, they're going to change again. And then one of these doesn't meet that requirement. I can't remember which one. So that'll go away and they'll have some new refrigerant again.
Are there any differences in the way that the old air conditioner works versus the new one?
In theory, no. It's just a different refrigerant.
Yeah.
So they use a different metering device. And then because these new ones are slightly flammable, they required leak sensors on the coils. So every new unit comes in, whether you're retrofitting or part of a package, they have a sensor on there that what happens is if it senses a leak, it'll actually just turn the fan on and ventilate the into your house. But if they're just trying to get it dispersed.
But you said more flammable. What does that mean?
So flammable is fire. How will something lights on fire, right?
So
that kind of concerns me.
As you said, you have natural gas furnace, a natural gas range, maybe a natural gas water heater. So you already have piping in your house that contains a flammable, probably more flammable,
and actually most homes, not most homes, but quite a few homes have actual gas leaks, gas leaks in their house already. I mean, we find them all the time when we do our inspections. They're just very, very small, right? So obviously you want to correct them before they get to be big, because that becomes a bigger problem. But
to your question, Libby, you know, does it work any different? And reality is no. You're getting air conditioning, and what I explain to a lot of people, because there's actually a fair amount of, I'll say, science behind air conditioning. I just tell people it's magic, because what a lot of people don't understand is air conditioning is an exchange of heat, and they're like, what? You know, I said,
they're taking the heat out of your house and putting it outside.
You got this unit outside, and you got your furnace inside, and they're connected by two copper pipes, and somehow you get air conditioning in your house. right?
Well, sounds like magic to me.
All we're doing is removing the heat and humidity out of the air to make you more comfortable. We actually don't cool the air. It actually takes the heat out of the air.
Yeah. When you compress things, they heat up. When you let them expand, they cool down.
Because it comes in as a high-pressure, high-temperature liquid, and then it flashes, and that flashing process is what absorbs the heat. So it goes out as a low-temperature, low-pressure gas, and then it goes to the condensing unit to be compressed back down.
Because your air conditioner had two parts. There's a part inside above your furnace, usually the A-coil. Oh, there's a second part to my air conditioner.
All that fun science stuff.
Right?
It's magic. It sounds like magic. That's all I can say.
Air conditioning but water softeners.
Yeah, water softeners. Water softeners is even more simple. Yeah. But change your air filter. So anyone listening, if you have not changed your filter, please change your filter. If you don't know the last time you filtered, please do that, because that will cause problems,
and
especially
put the right
as it gets hot.
Size in and put it in the correct direction.
Size, direction, but also don't buy one that's super restrictive. Try to stick around MERV 8. I know that people are like, I want this better air quality and things, but the problem is you're killing your systems. If you read the actual filters, it tells you how much air movement can happen on them and what pressure causes. Well, a 0.1 is the maximum you want on a filter. So yes, it'll move. It'll say, we can do all the way up to this much air. But the problem is the pressure becomes suffocating to the furnace. So it's just as bad as having a plugged filter.
Yeah.
Now, back to the Fix-It Show on 620 WTMJ.
And Jason Fox is here from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Plumbing, along with David Nason. And we've got some calls and texts coming in on the Siding Unlimited Talk and Text Line, David.
Right. We got somebody calling in or texting in. And I think it's an interesting question. Their thermostat is set at 75. And when air conditioning kicks in, you'd think it would have to be at 76 before it changes. And it's showing 75. So how do thermostats...
So remember the old chronotherms some of the old mercury style ones?
Right.
Yes, you had more of what they call a drift or a bounce to them, right? So basically the temperature would drift and then turn on and come down. But with modern technology now, they're measuring that up to the tenth of a degree.
Really?
So as it starts to get, before it gets to 76, it's going to turn it on because it knows it's going to have to, and then bring the temperature back down. If you have single stage equipment, which means it's either off or on, you'll typically have a little bit of overcool or overheat with those.
That makes sense.
If you have two stage or the variable capacity systems, those will be a little bit more dialed in because they can run at a lower speed to kind of keep it right in that range. In fact, your inverter driven or your modulating variable capacity systems actually can keep that temperature within a tenth of a degree because it can just modulate way down and be barely running.
So the little computer in there is already... I'm going to say thinking. I don't want to give it an AI, thing here, but it's
recording
it's sensing,
you and thinking.
It knows that we're getting close to the temperature where I got to turn this thing on again. And
so most of them are learning and typical, they want to try and keep it within that before it hits that. Now, sometimes it doesn't always succeed. Like sometimes you'll see them tick up, but it's trying to maintain that temperature you're setting.
Sure. I mean, and I guess sticking on thermostats, I see thermostats sometimes in just the weirdest locations. It's like what, behind a door or something. Is this going to sense properly?
So, typically, you want them on the interior of the home.
Right.
You don't want them by a window. You don't want it with any direct sunlight. You don't want them by a TV because the TVs give off heat.
Sure.
Right. So they're going to always have it off. So you want it kind of in a neutral positioning in the home. But a lot of thermostats these days, you can add a temperature sensor. So you could put the thermostat anywhere and put the temperature sensor where it makes the most sense. And it can sense off of that sensor and do it. And you can have multiple sensors. You can average them. You can do a lot of different things. But yes, other thing is like you used to have them right when you walk in the house.
Yeah.
It'd be the front door would open and then their thermostat would be there. Well, every time the door opens in the front, then the
blast of cold or heat or
then
whatever.
The heat kicks on. Right. And then it's, they've gotten better about placement of them, but typically we actually like it near a return because the return is pulling the air from the house back to the system.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be the most normal temperature of what you're going to see.
Okay. Very good. I mean, more science really. I mean, largely what you're doing.
The science of comfort. So all the stuff that we take for granted in our homes, right? Because we just want it to be comfortable.
Right.
We geek out about it, right? So we come in with technology. We come in with all these different things. I mean, we've been to your house. We come in with all these tools and all this stuff to really see how is the system operating. Because it's not just especially now the way there's so much technology in these pieces of equipment when they're new, the boards and the circuits and everything, they're very much more sensitive to things and stuff like that. But so you need a lot more technology just to make sure they're operating properly.
Is that making them last longer or are they maybe not so much?
You know what? Longevity has nothing to do with the the box.
Yeah.
It's all about the installation and the ductwork surrounding it and all those things. That's what has it last a long time. When it's not installed ideally and when you don't have enough airflow and things like that, that's what really beats them up.
Put too much strain on them.
Strain, and they just never run right, because if a system needs 1,200 units of air and it's only ever getting 800, it's never going to work right, right? Yeah. Because you don't have the volume of air moving through for it to work properly, right? Yeah. And everything has to be adjusted for the misalignments, and then that's where, yes, it's working harder, it's getting dirtier, it's doing all these other things. So longevity has nothing to do with the brand you buy or anything like that. It's all about the installation.
Interesting.
We've got Jason Fox here from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Plumbing. Got to ask you about some plumbing questions, and we'll do that right after this. It's 7:21 on WTMJ.
This is the Fix-It Show on 620 WTMJ.
And we're back with David Nason. I'm Libby Collins in for Dayton Kane. And Jason Fox is here from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Plumbing. You know what I'm wondering, Jason, is, you know, we automatically have our air conditioner, our furnace checked out regularly. But what about plumbing? I mean, are the only calls that you ever get from people saying, oh my gosh, I've got a pipe broken, come right away?
Well, we get those. But no, we do actually do a lot of plumbing inspections. You know, we have our membership that includes a free plumbing inspection. We also have a free drain cleaning part of that as well. But so typically we'll be called out. Maybe somebody wants to change something or they want one of our inspections. You know, we'll just come out and look at it. And the first time we go to anyone's house, first thing we do is where are the shutoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you're dealing with water, you want to know that you can shut the water off, right? So we always go by to the meter, like what's the condition of them? Did they work? Right. And things like that, because no matter what you're doing, you know, if your shutoffs are broken, your emergency shutoffs are broken, you can create a much bigger issue. Yeah. Right. So that's one of our biggest concerns always when we go to a home is, okay, can we shut the water off? Okay, yes, we can, or no, we can't. Then we should probably address that unless you're having an emergency of some other sort. But that needs to be addressed because you need them. Right. And the problem is they get forgotten about. Nobody exercises them or does them.
I put in every one of my reports, you know, when you point out the shutoff, as like, this was not operated during the inspection. So that just people know home inspectors do not, they should not be, I don't know if any are, but should not be operating that main shutoff valve. And the reason is it doesn't always leak when you turn it off, especially if it's an old gate valve. You turn it off, you're fine. It's when you open it back up. That's when it's going to start to leak. And I don't want to be calling a plumber during my inspection. That's not a thing. But I will tell people, you know, hey, this is an older gate valve. There's a chance that this is going to leak when, you know, kind of thing. And especially if it's an older house where the below the meter is the valve where you have to use a wrench to turn it off.
Yeah, corporation cock.
Yeah.
Where it's so got the flat one.
Now you're, you know, you only have one, but in new houses, you have two. You know,
well, the corporation cock is a tapered valve with a nut on the back. So if you don't do what you're doing, you can actually snap that nut off the back and the whole valve will pop out in your hand.
Yeah, that's not good. So, yeah, it's important.
So we always want to check that. But then we'll go through and we do a lot of inspections. You know, we look at your hardness, your water quality, like what's, you know, how's everything going there? What can flush your water heater, you know, which you should do. So we go through and do all those kinds of things
How
and make sure
should that water heater be flushed.
What's that?
How often should you flush that water heater?
Early and often.
Yes. Technically, every 30 days. You know, we do once a year for some of our customers, you know, which will be good. The biggest thing is just want to try and keep the sediment out of the bottom as much as possible. You know, the sediment builds up and then it starts to cause other issues for the water heater.
But you don't have to drain it in completely, right?
No. Typically, you're going to drain out about a, you know, 2 gallons or so of water. We'd drain them into a bucket. We have a tool actually that we can put on there. So if they are clogged, we can actually get them unclogged and then flushed. So
when you come out and do that plumbing inspection, I mean, do you get under all the sinks and everything and check things out?
Every toilet.
Really?
We look at all the stuff that's any piping that's exposed. We're going to check your gas system as well. For any gas leaks and things like that. So we go through the whole house and we operate all the shutoffs, see, you know, make sure they work. We want to make sure you're not using any water. Like, water's pretty expensive unless you're in a well, but even then you're if you're wasting it, right? So a little bit of a water running can cost you a fortune. So
you check the outside?
Yep, all the hose bibs, everything.
Yeah. Toilet valves, flush valves.
Flush valves.
That's where people lose a lot of water, right?
It's a real common one, right? Because it's running and it's overfilling the tank. Or hose bibs is a real common one where they're just not off, shut off, won't shut off all the way and they start dripping, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, that can add another 50 or 100 bucks to your bill every month.
Oh, so. My gosh. Yeah. So if you want that plumbing inspection, who do you call?
Well, give us a call at 262-220-7020 and we can do the plumbing inspection. Or if you join Merle's League of Home Defenders, which is $48 and $24 a month, you can have that inspection for free along with a free drain cleaning.
And you just come out every year and do that automatically then?
Yes. We'll call you and set it up.
Fantastic.
Now back to the Fix-It Show on 620 WTMJ.
And welcome back. I'm Libby Collins in for Dayton Kane. David Nason's here, and our guest this hour is Jason Fox from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Plumbing. And you can get through to talk with him on the Siding Unlimited Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620.
So as Libby just said, electric also. And so we have somebody texted in, hi, electrical system was maintained a few years back. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but they bought a new mid-sized LG microwave, and it has tripped the GFCI 3 times since June 17. What's your opinion? Should I return the microwave? You had a pretty interesting idea. Let's plug the microwave into a different outlet.
Let's start with a different outlet, and then is the GFCI could be bad. It could be the microwave. It could be that your circuit's overloaded, right? It could be you have a high voltage drop on the circuit causing right. There's a lot of different things that could be there.
Does it turn it on the same time the refrigerator kicks in?
Yeah. Well, the fridge should be on its own circuit, right?
You're right. Yeah.
Right. And a lot of times microwaves will be on their own circuit as well, depending on how they're installed and things like that. So it may or may not be the microwave. It could be something else going on, but a GFCI is tripping for a reason, right?
Right.
It's not, it's there to protect you, right? So, it's a matter of it's hard to diagnose that one over the text message.
So explain that. I mean, you have GFCIs in your kitchen, right, Libby, in your bathroom, right? But so a GFCI is a ground fault protecting. So how does that means the electricity is traveling back on the ground rather than neutral.
A ground fault, or it could be, obviously they're meant for wet. Like if something gets wet, like in your kitchen, obviously it's not always water, but it could be food or things like that. And electric, short things out, right? So it's meant as an instant protection to shut the power off to the circuit. You can actually get them in now in circuit breakers. They make ground fault and also arc fault circuit breakers, which is more the common code, which, we're having a big electrical code upgrade this fall. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be moving. So you're going to see a lot more of these. In fact, most new homes, the breakers look different. They're ground fault, arc fault combo throughout your whole home and protecting everything like that. So, electrical, there's a lot to it, right? And you have this thing is called voltage drop. So what is the voltage draw on the circuit? And as the voltage goes down, amperage goes up. So that creates heat. So you have issues that can happen with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard to say in this particular case. It could possibly be the microwave. Maybe something's going on internally. But I would start with plugging into a different outlet to see if you're having the same occurrence.
Yeah.
If not, then it's probably more to do with that circuit or that GFCI there. I mean, how many GFCIs can also be chained to other outlets? So if you have multiple things going on at the same time, so maybe you're running a toaster or something else or a blender, and then this is all going, you're overloading that circuit, which will cause it to trip as well.
And depending on the age of the house, too,
Most, what's the wiring?
Older houses probably have maybe only one circuit on their countertop outlets, whereas houses today have at least two.
At least two, a lot of times more, but at least two.
At least two, I'm talking for countertop outlets.
Yeah.
At least two circuits.
And the other thing is it, like you said, is it older? Is it the old BX with the cloth wiring and things where, things could be getting...
Are they properly grounded? Or
there's a lot there's a lot to it. Is it even hooked up right? I mean, you can still see them reversed or the line load side reversed. I mean, there's a lot of...
So what you're saying is join Merle's League of Home Defenders, and not only do you give plumbing inspections, I imagine you give electrical inspections.
We do an electrical inspection as well. Yeah, we'll come out and inspect the whole home and see what's going on, and then if there's anything needs to be done, we'll give it to you. We pull the panels off.
With the panel. And
we check for infrared to check for heat, high heat on circuits. Want to make sure the panel's not corroded, right? Is everything tight? Because some stuff loosens up over time. But there's, electrical, like everything else, a lot to it, and... The great thing right now is if there's still money in the HEARS program, so if you have older electric in your home, they have up to $4,000 for a service upgrade. You have to go to 200 amp, or they also have $2,500 towards wiring. So if you have some wiring that's maybe old or things that you need to address, you can get money towards that. You can get money also towards if you have a car, electric car charger, which I just bought my first electric car. Don't have it yet, but if you need a charger installed, you can get $2,500 towards the installation of the charger. You have to apply. There's some restrictions and things like that, and it's just not a very quick program, but it's an instant money to you. You don't have to wait for a check in the mail. it goes to the contractor. But if you're interested in that stuff, we can help you through that as well.
And that's government money that you get? Or
Yeah. It was a government federal program. It's administered by the state. So the state got a bucket of money, and they have it for it's all for electrification. Electrification is the HEARS program. The HOMES program is more about like air sealing and insulation improvements and things like that, lowering utility usage. But the HEARS is all about electrification. So if you can do a heat pump, you know, which operates like an air conditioner, right? It just does both directions. Mm-hmm. You can get up to $8,000 for that. So it's $14,400 total is the total package you can get to. And it depends on where you live and how much money you make and things like that to your qualifications. So some you get 100% of the money, some it's 50%, some it's lower.
And you have to have a licensed contractor like you.
There's a whole, it's like you have to start the process by getting a pre-approval. So if you go to Focus on Energy's website, you can apply for the programs there, right? And then that'll give you an instant thing. If you get a approval, then you have to go to a contractor like us. And then we do all this stuff. And then we submit for a reservation that reserves the funds. Once we have that reservation, we can actually start the process of doing the work. Yeah. So
you're
it takes
just
a little
some
time.
Of your tax dollars back.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a great incentive to get that work done now.
We've gotten several people the full $14,000 in improvements in their home.
That's a big number.
That really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a huge upgrade.
We've got Jason Fox here from Capital Heating, Cooling, and Electrical and Plumbing. You might have some questions about that or about things going on in your house at the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Get through at 855-616-1620. We've got some questions coming in, and we will get to them right after this on The Fix-It Show.
Making sure your honey-do list doesn't turn into a honey-what-did-you-do list. It's The Fix-It Show on 620 WTMJ.
And today's guest is Jason Fox from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Plumbing. I'm Libby Collins in for Dayton Kane, and we've got David Nason here. And you've got some questions coming in, David.
We do. So somebody texted in, I need to replace my gas water heater that has a chimney exhaust. And so that's a natural drafting unit. Would you recommend replacing it with the same type or going with a power vent? Or you could even go with electric, too.
You could go electric, depending on, you know, the problem with electric is recovery times and things, right? And cost, right?
Right.
So, you know, they have the heat pump hybrid heaters, which are electric. But the problem is that's basically putting air conditioning in your basement. So you're going to be bringing the temperature in your basement down. And once your basement temperature gets to 40, they actually won't run anymore. So, like, not so much a concern probably in the summertime, but in the winter, it's a possibility, which they have a electric that'll kick over, but it's not as efficient as you'd like.
I've seen a few of those. Can you exhaust that outside?
You can, but then now remember, you're pushing all this air outside. Where's the air coming back in, right? So,
right.
Yes, you can definitely do that, but then now you need to think about air coming back in. So, they're not bad for our market. Where they're really good is in the southern markets because a lot of water heaters are in garages and things like that. So they like it just makes sense. It can make sense here, but it's one of those things where you got to be careful in the application, right?
Sure.
So
back to what they said, could you go with a power vent heater?
I typically recommend people, if their chimney's not being used, like typically chimneys were used for furnaces and water heaters, right? So if you pull a furnace out of a chimney, you now need a chimney liner, right? So
we call it an orphaned water heater. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you don't put a chimney liner in, because the flue of the chimney is so big, what happens is the furnace will not properly vent. So when we get into cold weather, it won't be a problem now, but when you get in the wintertime, that flue gas starts to rise up, but the chimney is too cold. And what happens is it turns into like an acid and it condenses all along the inside of the liner and it just rots out the entire chimney. So if you drop a chimney liner in, it'll prevent that from happening. The problem is now you're spending money on this liner's other things when you could just upgrade to either a power vent or a tankless type water heater. Now you're out the side of the house, you can seal the chimney off and then you never have to worry about that again.
Yeah. I suggest to people, if the furnace has been updated already, high efficient, and now the only thing venting is the water heater, and your roof is old, and your water heater is old, consider going to the power vent. And then when you have the roof done, take the chimney down. And these are just little chimneys. I'm not talking about your
big
decorative fireplace chimney. This is that little one in the middle of the roof.
Yeah, and just eliminate the problem for the future, and then you can take it all the way out to get more space in the house. But so power vent is a good one. And then we do a lot of tankless. I mean, a lot of people are moving to tankless. So, you know, tankless, if you have a lot of family or things or you have a lot of hot water needs, tankless is the way to go because you basically have endless hot water, right?
Yeah. Not, so. It's not,
is there
not
any
instant, it's endless.
Is there
well, it can be instant if you put a circulation right. pump right. in, right? But any water heater is not going to be instant.
Right.
Right.
Is there any downside to having a tankless water heater?
They do have a little bit of maintenance requirements, so you do need to flush them and things like that. So there is some additional, you know, maintenance on them than a regular water heater to maintain them, make sure the heat exchanger integrity stay. So that, yeah. that
how often do those have to be flushed?
It depends on your water, right? So sometimes yearly, sometimes every couple of years. If you have good water conditioning where your water is pretty neutral and not have a lot of hardness to it, you can go a couple of years typically without having any issues.
It's essentially like a boiler.
It's an instantaneous boiler. It's the same type of technology that you'd use in a modular boiler. It's you know the problem is it's or not problem. The way it works is you're taking a very small water amount of water and heating it up very rapidly.
Does your cost change tankless versus a traditional water heater?
Tankless is going to be more expensive on the initial installation, and it'll be more expensive on the replacement. Tankless tend to last longer because you can maintain them, right? So things like that. So you tend to get more years out of them than the tank. Because you don't have the tank leaking as much is the issue. So it's really like tankless is more about like hot water needs. Usually I tell people. So like if you're just a single person or two people living in a house, a power vent, you're going to be more than fine unless you have one of them giant bathtubs or giant car wash showers, then you're going to want tankless.
Right.
But if it's like you got a family of four, you know, four or five or six and you got a lot of kids, like
I have a lot of laundry,
two teenage boys that seem to never get out of the shower.
Been there.
So we have our house, right? And so in those kind of scenarios, it's great. Or if like, you know, some people like to wash their cars with hot water and things like, so, you know, depends how you're living in your home, really. And,
or if you travel a lot or if you're gone for a long times in the winter or something, you don't have a tank of water just sitting there.
Yeah. It just, the tankless is just going to sit idle. Right.
And plus it takes less space.
Yeah. You mount it to your wall. So in tight conditions where like maybe you don't have a lot of room in your basement or stuff like that, it's mounted to the wall and it's out of sight, out of mind, kind of, you know.
But just like everything, you know, it's an evaluation. Hey, you're not going to give something to somebody who that it doesn't make sense, just like their furnace or other things.
Yeah, no, it's not for every home and things like that. And you know, so you want to make sure it's the right application, and then it's again got to be installed right. You need the right size gas line. You got to make sure it's vented properly. There's steps to everything, right?
So if somebody's thinking of changing from a traditional water heater to a tankless, you'll consult with them, you'll talk with them, and
we'll come out for free and to see is it even possible. Sometimes you can't put a tankless in because of, you know, the way where the gas is in the wrong side of the house and there's just no way to get upgraded or things like that. So because there are certain things you have to do to install it, right? And sometimes not every home it can be done. Most homes it can.
Would you put it in a condo, for example?
Most condos can't do it because you don't have enough gas.
So that doesn't work.
The venting might be an issue.
Venting could be an issue as well, yeah.
Yeah, so, most condos, well, if we're talking like a condo building, a multi-unit, most of those are electric.
Yeah.
So you can't use it in those?
No.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Although
they'd
be a lot smaller than the others.
They'd be a lot smaller than the big 80 gallons they put in there, but then once, like he said, venting, getting the venting out, and then most of those are 2-pound gas, but the gas lines aren't big enough for the length of run that they are, so there's...
So we'll tell everybody if they're interested in changing a water heater. How do we get in touch with you, Jason?
Give us a call at 262-220-7020, or if you go to callcapitalcares.com, you can book appointments and things there, but you can actually price out water heaters on our site too. If you're interested in what they cost, you can fill out some information and do that. And when we come back, we should give away a Merle's League of Home Defenders membership.
Let's get your phone fingers ready.
Yeah, we've got Jason Fox here from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Plumbing on The Fix-It Show.
Now, back to The Fix-It Show on 620 WTMJ.
Libby Collins in for Dayton Kane, along with David Nason and Jason Fox from Capital Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Plumbing. And it's that time, Jason.
Yes, it's that time to have a lucky winner for Merle's League of Home Defenders, right? So what does that cover? That covers two beyondifications, one for your heating time, one for your cooling time. That covers our plumbing inspection we talked about. It covers a free drain cleaning, right? So if you're a member, you can come out and clean one drain for free once a year. Electrical inspection, it's 20% off repairs. It's 10% off of our duct cleaning. You never pay a service call fee for even for emergency services. And you get $400 worth of capital cash you can use towards any of our indoor air quality equipment, towards a new air conditioner or furnace, or towards our water treatment stuff as well. So it's a text-in giveaway. So you're going to text the word CLUB to 414-662-0910. That's 414-662-0910. Text the word CLUB in, And then Bella's working today. She'll give you a call and we'll get you all set up and you'll have benefits today and you can schedule something if you need it.
And give that number one more time?
Yeah, not the studio here. Yeah.
Nope. You're going to text the word club to 414-662-0910.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting one more text coming in on the WTMJ.
Yeah, they have a seasonal cabin and turn off their electric water heater between visits when we aren't there. Is there a problem for the operation and lifespan of the heater? They're on well water.
No, but you want to make sure that you turn it on and flush it like crazy.
I was going to say drain it.
Yeah. You want to run quite a bit of water through it just because you can get Legionnaires or some
disease,
other
problems
with standing water like that. Squishy.
Yeah, that's probably something people don't know. You know, a couple of weeks, you want a couple of week vacation, everything, not a big deal. But months, water sitting in a water tank.
Even a couple of weeks if you're gone, I would still make sure you,
Okay.
I mean,
good to know.
It doesn't take much, right? And especially it seems like it's more and more frequent these days. So if your water's sitting for a while, it's not a bad thing. Just let it run for a few minutes. You know what I mean? Kind of get it flushed and turned over, and you know, and get it out of there.
Yeah.
So
what do you do if you go to flush it and you open that valve, flush a little bit, and then you close the valve and it's still dripping because the valve's now clogged
on the water heater?
Yeah.
You can put a cap on it.
Sure, right?
Or you can do it. I mean, so we have a device that we can actually put the water heater and we kind of can unclog them.
Kind of backflow it kind of a little bit.
Yeah, it uses air. It just pushes it back, and usually we can get them freed. But sometimes you have to cap them off. Yeah.
Jason, one last time, let's tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Call capitalcares.com or 262-220-7020. You can call, text us there, right? If you go to our website, you can book online. There's a ton of information. You can look at what a new furnace costs, new air conditioner, new water heater. We have all that stuff there. Or if you're looking for a career and want to join our team, you can go on our website and see all the jobs we have open.